Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Welcome back to Carolina Focus, everyone. I'm Sharon Thorsland here on this Sunday morning alongside Ed Billick and Ramona Holloway from WLNK right down the hall here from us at WBT.
Mix 107.9, the morning show, right?
Yes, yeah, 6 to 10, Monday through Friday.
Shameless plug.
Well, we have been speaking about Ramona's journey with her mom, Wheezy, and her battle with Alzheimer's disease. And you've been really, it's been so enlightening listening to you
talk about this
and how you got to the point where you had to go find a diagnosis and then your journey throughout that. So as people are listening to us right now, I'm sure there's somebody out there going, wow, that sounds familiar. Ooh, maybe I need to look into this. When you reached out to get the diagnosis, how did you know who to call? And what can people be on the lookout for?
Frankly,
what do they do?
We had a very good relationship with our primary care doctor. And for those of you who don't know, my mom moved in with me in 2004. Now, so fast forward, it's 2015. And one of the things that I did just to make my life easier around healthcare was we went to the same family doctor because I was always in her appointments. You can't send a person with dementia to the doctor alone. And my mom also, even before I knew dementia was there, you know, if she went to a doctor's appointment, like what happened? Oh, he said I was doing good.
That's what they do.
Well, then why did they double your dosage of diabetes medications, you know? Yeah. We started at our primary care physician.
Okay.
And that's where a lot of people start. And who would you refer to? There are neurologists. There are memory centers that can be your next step. Because a lot of times, not only are people like me in denial, a lot of times the person with dementia is in denial. Mm-hmm. You know, who wants to think? You want to, you know, just kind of brush it off as I just forgot. You know,
I'm just getting older.
Yeah. I got the old timers, as they used to say. No one wants to believe that it's going there because it can be a really hard movie to watch. Mm-hmm. Who wants to say, oh, you know, feels like I'm going to be heading toward my daughter changing my diaper. You know, no one wants to think that, you know.
Yeah.
So a lot of times there's some denial. So you really have to work together as a family. Sometimes you're going to have to convince. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you might have to tell what I call a therapeutic lie so that you can get to doctor's appointments, so you can get some things going. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, there are some behavior changes and some people who absolutely refuse treatment. Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you're working with the Alzheimer's Association to raise awareness, just like through your dance party.
Mm-hmm.
They have a great website with all sorts of...
ALZ.org, that easy.
Yeah, all sorts of information on there. And I know that one of them is a tool that if you have questions, like you were saying, is it old age? Is it just forgetfulness? Mm-hmm. Or is it something more that'll actually walk you through and say this, and this. Oh, you maybe need to go see somebody. And it has all those great resources available to people. How helpful is it to have something like that out there for people that are wondering and wanting to know what's going on?
I think Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia, I don't think they're unlike most other diseases. You're not that interested until it's somebody you love.
Right.
Like, I'm probably not going to get a lot of information about gout until I've got gout. You know what I mean? I've heard of it, but I don't know. I know. I think my cousin might have had gout. I don't know. He's walking weird. Somebody said it's
smelly
gout.
Feet.
I don't know. Sorry, Cyril. That's what I heard. But we don't necessarily know about these diseases until, it hits home.
Right.
So you need those resources. And if you're like me and you have this aging parent and you also have a career, you don't have a lot of time to do a lot of research. The Alzheimer's Association has already done a lot of research. I support them because they do a lot of research. Right. They fund a lot of research. They put it together and make it easy for us to get to it. And there are symposiums and workshops and support groups that help you learn more and also support you through a very emotional mm-hmm. time of your life when one of the people you love more than anybody else on the planet is actively dying and forgetting you in the process.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that's when you say it like that, it's yeah, like, holy cow.
If I thought about that while I was going through it, I don't think I would have made it. That's when I look back on it, it's like, wow. Mom was actively dying and her brain went first. And along the way, she forgot how to speak French. She had been a French teacher for over 40 years. She loved French. Mm-hmm. She forgot Spanish. I mean, and God forbid, I don't even want to know. One of my neighbors knows that my mom was a French and Spanish teacher. I have a neighborhood of dog lovers, and they were concerned that there were some people who were dropping chicken bones in the common area. They were eating their lunch in our common area and leaving chicken bones there. They were very concerned about the dog. So they decided to leave a message for people who were eating their lunch out there to not drop any chicken bones, to take your chicken bones with you. And they wanted the message in English and in Spanish. So they came to Mom to write the Spanish part. God only knows what it said. God only knows what it said. She had forgotten Spanish at that point.
Did they stop putting chicken bones
I don't even know. I didn't want to know.
Work?
I sped past that area every day because I was connected to that house. You know, it's nobody knew. None of the rest of us knew what it was supposed to say. And I didn't even want to know. I didn't want to know. But it's so many things get lost in the process. Experiences like she forgot a vacation that I thought she would never forget. Mm-hmm. Then she forgot. She started forgetting her nieces and nephews one by one. And like family members kind of started falling by the wayside until it got to the point where she only remembered me and her brothers and sisters, my nephew and the dog. And then eventually it was just the dog.
She sounds like she was pretty spiritual. Did she have spiritual advice? Was she seeing anybody at that point in time? Was anybody coming by, a pastor or something? Or
she would read from this Ayanla and Van Zandt prayer book and her Joel Osteen book pretty much every day.
Yeah.
The same, like, four pages all the time. And I will say, while she forgot all that stuff I was telling you before, she could still say the Lord's Prayer. If you started the Lord's Prayer, she could finish it. Amazing Grace, the Motown catalog. By the time she forgot how to walk, one of the ways that I could get her to walk was if I started singing a church song. If I started singing, "We're marching, marching up to Zion, that beautiful city of God." Well, that was a church march song. When the choir marched in, a lot of times mm-hmm. they would march in to the sanctuary singing that song. So I could get her to march with me from the bathroom
to
the
kitchen.
Music is an amazing tool. An amazing tool. You put on the twist, she was going to do the twist. She could sing every Little Richard song. She could sing all the Temptations, all the Aretha Franklin and the Gladys Knight. She did not forget those songs.
How important was the pet, the dog? You mentioned earlier that she loved the dog. And did the dog outlive her? Did she outlive the dog?
She outlived the dog. And I am thankful for that. Because it just made me think that he was there to greet her. I'm a dog person.
Yeah, and I am.
And you're about to get the tears, okay? I've held him in a very long time. So we had our dog from 2005 until 2021.
Wow.
But in 2019, in the fall, he was diagnosed with a brain tumor.
Oh, jeez.
So I got a brain tumor dog, and I got this dementia mom. And,
oh, my goodness.
You know, by this time, I'm paying out of my pocket for a helper. And, you know, the vet says, you know, there are some cancer treatments that you can pursue for your dog. And, like, they're talking you know, $8,000 to $10,000. And I sat there crying, and I was like, I feel like I got to choose between family members for treatment here. And the vet said, you know what? There's nothing wrong. There's no wrong decision. There's no wrong decision. Because you also, you know, some of the pets who receive these treatments, they don't have a great quality of life.
Right.
So there's no wrong decision. So I decided not to do the cancer treatment for my dog. And he started out having seizures frequently. The vet said he didn't feel them. He would be very confused afterward for a little while. But like, you know, once every other week, he would have one of these seizures. And then the seizure stopped. And then toward the end, when I still had mom at home, the seizures started kind of ramping up again. And so I would have to try to get her off in one place and then take him somewhere else, because it was going to cause a major meltdown in my home of epic proportions.
Oh, yeah, and how much she loved him.
If she saw him convulsing. So when I took mom to the care home, his condition deteriorated immediately.
Wow.
Immediately, where the seizures were more frequent, and he started having bed sores from where he was just laying around. And so I wound up having to put him down because it was just getting to the point of just cruelty.
No quality of life,
none. And right before that, I took him to visit her, and he was perky, she was perky, and then shortly after that, I had to put him down. But I believe that little dog hung on for her. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't convince me that what I saw in late 2019 could just be, like, basically not there for an entire year of being locked down together. Mm-hmm. And then it came back.
Yeah.
And then he deteriorated quickly and left a couple of weeks before she did. I just think he hung on for his grandma, and she considered herself his meemaw.
Beautiful.
You make us all cry now.
But so, how many of our listeners right now are going through these kind of things?
Absolutely.
You know, that's why it's so grateful for you to share these kind
of
things.
But, you know, pets also can be an indicator. I know one person with dementia who had a dog that was morbidly obese. And then my dog was getting very full figured, because if the dog owner doesn't realize that they just fed the dog.
Oh.
And dogs will continue to eat.
Right.
Yeah.
It got to the point where my mom would be trying to force feed my dog out of her hand. Like, she would put cheese and mix it up with the kibble and sprinkle some bacon grease on it. Like, he won't eat. He won't eat. And the first time, I was tricked into taking him to the vet.
Oh.
Only to find out he had gained 30.5% of his body weight.
Whoa.
In 6 months.
Oh, my goodness.
There's another indication.
Like,
overfeeding the dog.
Oh, he's getting full figured because she keeps feeding him because she forgot that she just fed him. And it appears that he's on this hunger strike.
Wow.
He wasn't. But and then you also have people who forget to feed their pets. So you go over and you see grandma or grandpa, and the dog or cat is looking kind of thin.
Okay.
And they're looking kind of thin. Somebody might be forgetting to feed a pet and might be forgetting to feed him or herself.
So that's another something for people to look out for.
Absolutely.
And as we're mentioning, this is Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month. And you just had your dance party yesterday. We've got another event coming up later this month. It's called The Longest Day. And on the alz.org website, on the Alzheimer's Association's website, it describes it as the longest day is the day with the most light, the summer solstice. And on June 21st, people from across the world will fight the darkness of Alzheimer's through a fundraising activity of their choice. And I think that's just such a neat way to phrase it. So tell us a little bit more about that event that is coming up and what that means in this whole fight against Alzheimer's.
I tell you, actually, there are so many events for Longest Day. Mm-hmm. The dance party was one of the events to support the Longest Day. We just had ours before the 21st, but people do all kinds of things. We danced for Alzheimer's. Some people walk. Some people golf. Some people have outdoor parties. Some people do crafts and sell their crafts. I mean, there are so many things people do to observe the longest day. And a lot of times they do it in memory of or in honor of someone or a lot of someones who have fought the good fight, mm-hmm. someone who has had to say that long goodbye where mm-hmm. the person you love starts to disappear mentally before they disappear physically. And we're just, I'm just so proud of what we've done in the Western Carolina chapter because Western Carolina, which does take in the Charlotte area, we've had a lot of events and we've had a lot of amazing both corporate and community support.
Wow. Well, the longest day coming up on the 21st. And if you'd like more information about that, you can also go to the ALZ.org website to find out more information about that. Ramona, do you have like any, I mean, it's probably hard to come up with just one thing to say to people, but if you had one main piece of advice to give people as they are either just entering into this situation or going through it like you did or have wrapped up that chapter, what advice do you have for people out there?
What the kids call future tripping is okay. not your friend. The kids call it future tripping. Hmm. It's trying to outthink dementia. Okay. Trying to overplan for dementia. It is a day-to-day thing. We know that the end of the story either ends with them losing this disease, losing to this disease by like my mom did on her death certificate, it says dementia. She forgot how to eat.
Okay. Yeah.
And then she forgot how to breathe. Her lungs, you know, mm-hmm. just stopped. But if I looked forward, it would be so hard to try to do it because I knew what was coming. The only way she was going to be free of this disease is when she died. So you want her free of the disease, but you don't want her dead.
Right.
So just try to stay at one day at a time and let the disease be the disease. The disease is not your loved one. They're not your loved one. Your loved one is still in there. They still love you. On the inside, on the outside, their brain is just going haywire. So just one day at a time, remembering that that disease is not your loved one. It's just something that your loved one has.
Well, excellent. That's excellent advice. Ramona Holloway, thanks so much for sharing your story and your time with us and all of this great information. We really appreciate you coming in to see us.
Thank you. I'm glad I finally figured out a way to say, with dementia, you'll never be right again. Just agree with it. Just agree with it.
That's probably another good piece of advice. Just agree with it.
We'll be right back with more Carolina Focus. Ramona, thank you again.
Thank you so much for your time. We truly appreciate your support.
All right, folks, welcome back to Carolina Focus here on this Sunday. And next week, a special event is happening. It's called Camp Soar. And with me, I have the director of Camp Soar, Bob Bowler, and then also Jeremy Kuhn, who's with Charlotte Catholic, who's helping out with the volunteers, and Al Tinson from Camp Soar. So, guys, good morning. Bob, let me start. Just describe what is Camp Soar. How long has it been in existence, and what is it?
Okay, Camp Soar stands for Special Olympic Athletic Retreat. It started at this will be our 21st year. It's a camp for our Special Olympic athletes who want to come out and enjoy a camping experience and play and learn new sports and meet new friends and just have a great camping experience. And we do it at the Jewish Community Center all next week, June 13th to June 17th, from 9 to 4 every day. So it's a great experience. We bring in the community. Everybody has a buddy. We have group leaders. We do all sorts of sports and other events such as fitness, chair yoga, aerobics, Zumba, bowling. We take them bowling. And we have a big party on Friday where we have a pizza party, magic show, dance, movie. So we really celebrate and have a great time.
It's like our version of Special Olympics, isn't it, Bob?
That's right. And it's kind of... everybody says it's more like a love fest or a Disney World because everybody's so happy and has such a great time and everything. So we have 260 campers signed up this year and about 400 volunteers already committed.
So 260, we call them campers, special needs folks, like Special Olympics of all ages, right, Bob?
Yeah, we have them from 12 years old up to about 70 years old.
I've been out there a couple times, folks, and it is a special. It such warms your heart. Jeremy, I understand you're providing a lot of the volunteers. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how'd you get involved?
Sure. It's kind of a matter of being in the right place at the right time. I've been a teacher at Charlotte Catholic since 1998, graduate there. My wife is also a graduate, and so we're entrenched in the system itself. And, the opportunity to kind of organize and gather together volunteers was a really easy one. And I think that now that we're on this kind of other side of COVID, people are wanting to come out and really celebrate community. And this is an opportunity for us to kind of plug into the Catholic traditions, the Christian traditions of celebrating the dignity of others and the joy of service. And, it's easy to plug in for so many of these young people. We have a lot of rising ninth graders all the way up through graduating seniors, not only from Catholic, but also friends of our Charlotte Catholic students as well, who have that natural desire to serve, that natural desire to engage in that joy of service. And so we've been able to gather together, I think, somewhere in the vicinity of 85, 90 students this summer.
Well, I know they are such an integral part. They make this fun. And the relationships they built with the campers, if you will, are very, very special. I've seen it firsthand myself. Bob, how long has Camp SOAR been in existence?
This will be the 21st year.
Wow.
21 years. Started with about 54 campers and 35 volunteers. Now we're up to over 260 and 400 and climbing volunteers. It's a great ministry that's really worked out so well, beyond my dreams. It's so exciting to see that. And I love, like Jeremy was saying, to bring the community together, and especially the high school, college kids. They come back year after year to see the bonding and the acceptance and the inclusion and just the love that and how much they get out of it. I tell all the volunteers, you'll get more out of it than the campers.
And you're absolutely right.
They give so much love, and they're so genuine, and they want to be accepted, and they want to meet new friends, and they want to have fun, and they want to show off their skills and everything and learn new skills. So it's really a win-win situation for everybody.
So glad here on Carolina Focus this morning as we wrap up the show to have you guys on. Jeremy, thank you for the work you're doing and the volunteers that you're providing. Bob and Al, this is a special time. I hope I can free up some time and come out next week. Again, Bob, describe Camp SOAR. Where's it being held, and how can the community help out?
It's going to be all next week, June 13th to June 17th, at the Levine Jewish Community Center, 5007 Providence Road. We'll be there from 9 to 4 every day, busy, and love to have people come out and visit us, join us. We're pretty good set on volunteers, but if somebody still wanted to volunteer, I never turn any volunteer or campers away. I want everybody to enjoy the opportunity and the fun that the camp provides. So love to have you come out and visit.
Well, God bless the three of you and the great, great work you're doing at Camp SOAR. And again, folks, if they're interested, do you have a website?
Yeah, sonnc.net or campsoar.net.
Hello, Ed and Jeremy. I couldn't hear the discussion, so pardon me if I'm repeating what you've already said. But one of the things I wanted to mention about the volunteers that we've noticed over the years is for some of them, it's their first experience with our population of special needs. And for some, we've had some that have gone into teaching or some other allied field. And so we have no idea really what the total reach of the volunteer program has been. We know that some have gone into occupational therapy as well as physical therapy and teaching special needs students, all as a result, and they've told us this, of their experience volunteering starting at Camp SOAR. So we're very proud of the fact that it's been a wonderful experience, obviously for the campers. You can see that in their faces and their actions, but also for the volunteers. And so many of them come back year after year after year and then go into that as their vocation. So we're real proud of the volunteer activities. And Jeremy probably mentioned about the Charlotte Catholic students. They've been a nucleus of our volunteer force for many, many years, and we appreciate them being a part of it. I'll turn it back over to Bob here.
All right, Al, thank you. Guys, appreciate your time here this morning on Carolina Focus. and best wishes for a great camp next week at Camp Soar.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Please come out and visit us.